taking time to absorb what this looks like for them instead of saying outright, no, this is not. We've you know, met with very few organizations that are that don't believe that this is a need. I would say that the overwhelming feedback has been, yes, this is absolutely a need, and we just need to figure out how this fits into our overall benefits package. I would say that, you know, there have been questions around, well, what about fathers? How are you supporting fathers? And, you know, we made the decision to make this about mothers, because we're trying to really flip the motherhood penalty. There is no fatherhood penalty. In fact, there's a fatherhood bonus where, you know, we see men's fathers salaries actually increase as a result of becoming a father, because they're seen as more competent. And so we, you know, in the early days, we're like, should we make this for both, you know, should we make it for both parents? But we made the decision early on that we're focused on the motherhood penalty. And so, you know, sometimes some organizations, what their feedback is, which is interesting, is that they want something that is inclusive of all parents, which, you know, our response to that is typically, when you are trying to support equity seeking and marginalized groups, you have to create specific tools for those people to feel supported. If you create a blanket one size all solution, you're actually creating exclusion. And so it's really about, and we try to talk about that a lot with organizations, is that by creating a one size fits all parental program, you're not actually providing the support that is needed. You're creating a very generic, you know, tokenistic program that isn't solving the problem. We know that mothers have different experiences. And so that's where we have decided to put our focus. And but we absolutely are, you know, huge fans of both parents, all parents, to take leave. However, we're just not there yet. But hopefully over the next few years, we will see that change, and we will see more leaves being equitably shared between partners if you do have a partner.
I think this is a great time to take a short song break. We're going to hear a track from Charlotte Day Wilson. This track is called Work. And then we will be back with my guest, Sonia Bekogli Foley of Matern. You're listening to Intravenous on CJSF 90.1 FM, campus and community radio from Simon Fraser University.
Ooh. you by my side.
We'll jump back into my conversation with Sonia Beckhogley Foley. Now, in the pie in the sky of all the ideals, what would maternity leave look like for you? And what will it take to get us there? What do we need to do? And who do we need to pressure?
It's a great, great, big question.
It is a big question.
We'd love to see maternity leaves be fully supported so that mothers don't feel that isolation in that incredibly pivotal time of our lives. We really want society to embrace motherhood and have women supported throughout those transitions. Someone just reached out to me actually this week about they're expecting twins, and this person is, you know, she already has one child, and she was saying, like, how is it that in 2022 we only support the maternity leave portion, when she's like, I am sick on my bed every single day. I can't work because she's creating two babies in her womb. And she's like, how is it that we only support mothers throughout the maternity leave and not something during pregnancy? And so she was, you know, really riled up around that. And I totally agree. You know, we have these unrealistic expectations of mothers to perform, to create humans, to, you know, all the things, right? And so how is, like, we need to create and change our policies and structures that really have not served mothers. And so I mean, to go back to your question, what will it take? What can we do? I think that we need to continue to shed light on the reality of motherhood, the reality of paid work. You know, I know there's working mothers, everyone's a working mother, whether it is at home or at work, air quotes. And so I think there needs to be a greater focus on that. And we also, you know, to add, I mean, what I said earlier, we need organizations and society to understand the issues, the data, and the lived experiences of pregnant women and mothers. And we need to talk about how maternal bias shows up in our workplaces every day. And how do we address that? How do we provide tangible tools of what to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say, and much more? And what we know is that research shows that maternal bias is one of the strongest forms of gender bias. So we really need to address that within our organizations so that we can stop penalizing mothers.
And what you're saying strikes me so much as the disparity between, you know, what those social expectations are mm-hmm. of motherhood and how we are sort of shamed and shut down and silenced about speaking about what that real lived experience is, and that that's part of what we need. Mm-hmm. To shift, you know, mm-hmm. is more mothers being heard about what their experience is, so that we get a full kind of breadth of what that looks like across the board. Because as you were saying earlier in the interview, you know, everybody's experience is different. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and everybody's expectations, both of themselves and their experience, is going to be different. And so, you know, having a more of a compendium, I guess, of what that looks like for half of the population in the world.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, matern isn't for everyone, right? Some people don't want to do that inner work or don't feel like they need that support, and that's totally okay. But it's really geared towards mothers who want to grow their careers and their families. And so it is important to say that it isn't, you know, for not it's this is not the case for everyone, but for you know, the research that we did find that in today's day and age, and the societal expectations of mothers are really unrealistic and harmful towards mothers. And so it's really time to meet those challenges, address those challenges, and create better ways to really expose what motherhood looks like, because we, I think, up until now have we've had such high expectations of mothers to be able to do it all. And we call them super moms. We give them these big titles that really are just creating bigger expectations of mothers to, you know, get that vice president title, have your house look beautiful, feed your family beautiful meals, all of those things. When it's like, in reality, that's, you know, without support, we can't do it all. It's not to say that it's not possible, but we've created these really unrealistic expectations for mothers to excel in all domains of life. And I think that just really is an impossible feat and can leave mothers in a really vulnerable state where they feel like they are not good enough if they cannot meet that societal expectation. And so, I really do believe that there's a huge opportunity to support mothers during these early forming years of motherhood so that they can feel more confident in their return back to work and how they participate in society, right? And that, you know, parenting is more than one person, sometimes, not always, but that, you know, there are many people that play a role. As you said, it takes a village. And so let's make sure that that village is available to the mother.
Love that. Love that. Anything that we haven't touched on that our audience might need to know, want to know, that is sort of sitting unsaid?
I mean, I could talk for hours about this, but I really believe that we have to come at it from multiple angles, and that we can't just put the onus on mothers, and that we need everyone to play a role. And, you know, it just, sometimes it's not about huge actions and huge changes. It's about just becoming more aware of our bias, and particularly the maternal bias that we hold in whatever role that you play in society, in your organization, in your family structure. It's really important to check your bias, become aware of it, and find better ways to view motherhood and embrace them, embrace mothers, because they are the backbone of our society. Without, you know, mothers having children, how do we expect our economy and population to continue, right? And so I really believe that we all have a role to play in supporting mothers through these really pivotal and transformational transitions.
That's fantastic. And lastly, how can people find you?
They can find us at matern.com. We are on Instagram at Matern Canada and LinkedIn and basically all over social media. So really easy to find us anywhere online.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much, Robin.
Thank you. My guest today has been Sonia Bacogli Foley, one of the founding members of Matern, again, an organization that provides comprehensive support to birthing and non-birthing mothers through their transition into motherhood and then back to the workforce.
Thank you, Robin.
And that was my interview with Sonia Bacogli Foley. If you missed the interview from the very start, you can find it posted at cjsf.ca under the show heading Intravenous by Date. My name is Robin Erickson. I have been your host for today's program, and we're going to lead out with a couple of tracks here, if we have time. This is Butterfly Boucher with It Pulls Me Under from the album of the same name. And we'll follow that up with a track from Lily Frost called Hear My Cry from Situation. Thanks for listening. And don't forget to stay tuned. Democracy Now! Is on at 11. See you next week. Do we do it?
cry.